Blog Talk Radio.
All right, guys, we're testing, testing one, two. Let's go ahead and let them know that I am here on the special connection of the Tulsa Race Riot. Let them know. Thumbs up, share, like, and subscribe. Lawyer Henderson TV is on. I need you to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, like, share, subscribe. Okay, as soon as I get this, Biden privately tells lawmakers not to spend much on reparations legislation. We would ask the question as why black folks still support this. Where's all the bootleg Negroes who said, oh, he's doing this and he's doing that, and once we get in office, black people are going to get something. If you know that we didn't get nothing from Obama, what made you think that we were going to get something from Jim Crow Joe Biden, his former vice president? And so now, at the celebration, I did a little bit of talking about the Tulsa Race Riot. I'm originally from Oklahoma City, so we knew about this even as young people. As I was coming up, I was like, probably learned about this about 14, 15. Right when I stayed in Oklahoma. So we actually went and took a field trip in high school to visit the Tulsa Race Riot. And then, and some of the people, basically, some of them, not the three remaining members, but there was a few others that were still alive at the time when we went down in Tulsa. When we went down there when we were in high school, our Black History Club was down there. So we know a lot about the Tulsa Race Riot. have a stance. But what I want to talk to you about, you see, white people keep on giving us symbolic gestures. They keep saying, okay, you niggas, y'all don't want money or resources. Y'all just want to hug. Y'all just want us to come and party and dance and pull around. See, this is the reason why the people in the Congressional Black Caucus, we're going to get on them in a minute, and all these other simple Negroes and civil rights leaders, see, this is, they're trying to undermine the black grassroots and black people as a whole, because see, they're trying to get us back on that voting class, and we're still not going for it. But today we'll be talking about Tulsa Race Riot and the commemoration of this event that went down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tuesday. Show. Typically, we don't come on Wednesdays, but man, I got so upset. I have just to come on here and just let it out on these Sambo Negroes and your boy Jim Crow Joe Biden. We keep on asking, where is all these bootlicking Negroes who voted this man in office, man? Where are they at? So we know that the Sambo's in the Congressional Black Caucus. We know that they basically voted for him. But where is all the non-political leaders? Where is them who basically said, well, when he gets in office, black folks are going to be all right, because he's not like this Trump dude. Them are the Negroes that I want to hear from, and they're nowhere to be found now. This is a Congressional Black Caucus, we already know who those coons are. A lot of them are immigrant coons, by the way. We have a situation with black people that since we've been so divided for so long, we have been, we basically have no kind of, let's no kind of loyalty whatsoever. We have none. You have black people who will sell you out for a bucket of chitlins and a piece of bubblegum. This is how detrimental it is. Now, for the people who are saying that the sound is messed up, we're going to, we've got this now audio recorded. We're going to redo the sound, so we're going to upload the actual podcast after this. So we'll delete the original and then upload the one that we got recorded. You can still call in. You'll be able to hear yourself, and also you can listen to yourself on YouTube. Now, ScrewTube do not want to advertise the fact that I cover a lot, because they think that my program is way more harsher than all the other black networks. and rightfully so, because we go into the meat of things. That's the reason why my homeboys downtown call me the Black Peace thing. I like that. We're going into the root of the ideal that these people think that they can just get away with giving Black people symbolic gestures. You understand? They're going to continue this symbolic gesture game because of Black people who are not serious about their freedom and about what this country owes us as far as our 40 acres of real and as far as our tangibles for ongoing injustices that keep happening to us. Man, we're dealing with a host of a lot of problems and issues in the Black community. And so we don't have enough time to shuffle and jive in here. If you got a lot of Black folks out here who is talking about sports and talking about clubbing every week, they basically are getting ready and prepared to go back into slavery. See, on this channel, we've been warning you that by 2053, Black people would have lost all their wealth. And we have basically have been under an attack by all groups. See, when the Democrats get in office, we get attacked by everybody. And so we have to watch this. But this finesse, these several Negroes in the Congressional Black Caucus, they went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma Tuesday, and some of the people who were supposed to be there was John Legend, Faith Avery was supposed to speak. But I think something got canceled because the attorney that was representing people was saying that it was not enough money. You know, they try to put values on everything, especially when you have attorneys and states that try to put their nose into representation. They feel like, oh, if I don't have the, if I'm not getting paid or whatever, I'm not getting paid enough, then I just want, you know, be there. And the people I represent won't be there, and I won't represent those people. But there's a woman by the name of Viola Fletcher. She is the oldest living survivor of the Tulsa race riot. And remember, she testified in the congressional hearing about what she witnessed. I'm going to basically read. I give credit to NPR. And this is what's going to start us off. Okay? Thumbs up, like, share, and subscribe. The day that a white mob came to Greenwood Avenue in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Viola Fletcher was just 7 years old. During emotional testimony on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, Fletcher, who is now 107, recalled her memories of the two-day massacre that left hundreds of Black people dead. "I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see Black men being shot, Black bodies lying on the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see Black businesses being burned. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear screams," Fletcher told lawmakers. "I have lived through the massacre every day. Our country has got its history, but I cannot." See, this woman is 107. You'll remember that fateful day. And these fools and the so-called lawmakers, these people are so goddamn stubborn and ignorant and evil and diabolical. They don't care about any survivor. Then we're going to get into it later where they were going to have a situation where they was going to present, I think, $100,000 to each member, that Biden was going to say that each member was going to get $100,000-some, and they, I think the survivors rejected it or something like that. Because in all honesty, these folks owe us trillions of dollars, not only from what happened in Tulsa, but in Atlanta. This also happened in a small community here that a lot of people don't talk about. So we have to go in depth as to what these people did to us in every area. Now, the reason, here's the thing. Asians only been harassed for 1 year, but they don't really have no evidence that it was racially motivated. But black people have evidence after evidence after evidence, and these son of a bitches still are saying, so what? I'm white and I say so, and you niggas, y'all are not going to get anything from us. Okay? Now let's continue, because then we're going to get into Jim Crow Show by Fletcher. Fletcher and two other survivors of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre, her younger brother Hugh Van Ellis and Leslie Gettlefield Randall, testified before a House Judiciary Subcommittee on Wednesday, nearly 100 years to the day of the massacre. Some historians say as many as 300 black people were killed and another 10,000 were left homeless. Greenwood was destroyed by the attack that was launched on May 31st, 1921. The country is currently grappling with systemic racism laid bare by the coronavirus pandemic and the killing of George Floyd and other black people and encounters with law enforcement. Same committee that heard from the survivors has also been studying reparations for descendants of millions of enslaved Americans and recently advanced a bill that would create a commission to study the lingering effects of slavery. See, now, if you watch the little video that this guy had, he basically was trying to interview Negro Jim Clyburn. I think Antonio Moore on this video, he basically got people, he got a guy to go to speak with Congressman Clyburn. And Clyburn said, if this, you all ask for reparations, it's never going to happen. Understand? That's what that old Negro said. But see, here's the thing. Why is it that white people do not want black folks to have reparations? You have to ask yourself, why do these people hate giving us money over others? And if you look at the history of them, their whole history have always been to be the enemy of black folks. They have basically came around us, smiled at us, cheered with us, rallied with us, protested with us, yet will turn around and say, well, you niggas, y'all don't deserve anything, but we'll knock down these monuments for you. We'll make it fair for you niggas to vote. Don't you know how long black folks have been fighting for the right to vote in this country? And these niggas in the Congressional Black Caucus, Sheila Jackson Lee, she showed up at the commemoration, you know, tap dancing and cooing all for Jim Crow Joe Biden. You see, this is what we do when it's time to basically get some type of real, real serious action going. Well, we're talking about our tangibles. We're talking about resources. We're talking about money. And Jim Crow Joe Biden talking about everybody should be getting this. Everybody should buy. We should not be participating in the failure in the electoral process because of Jim Crow Joe Biden. We're going to come back to NPR article, and I want you to hit that thumbs up, like, share, and subscribe. Okay? The number is 516-418-5867. Now, if you call in, go to YouTube. Don't call in right now until you add YouTube, Lawyer Henderson TV. So I want to hear you call in and say, I can go to YouTube. I'm live right now on YouTube. And then that's when you make a call. So let's go to this article. Now I want to, no, I'm sorry. Let's go to this video I want to show you about Jim Crow Joe Biden. I want you to listen to this diabolical, this bullshit ass so-called president that you are elected.
Thank you for making sure all remember. We never forget. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know. It is, I just toured the Hall of Survivors here in Greenwood Cultural Center. Mm. And I want to thank the incredible staff for hosting us here. And
these people, it get worse today. But every time white people show up, they have to give us a Bible verse. And they always talk about old black folks. Yeah, Jesus. Oh. We always start playing the same game when they come around, and we invite these people in our churches. Let's go on, though.
I didn't say when my father was my back. But in the tour, I met Mother Randall, who's only 56 years old. God love her, and Mother Fletcher, who's 67 years old, and her brother, Van Ellis, is 100 years old, and he looks like he's 60. Thank you for spending so much time. I really mean it. It was a great honor, genuine honor. You are the three known remaining survivors of a story seen in the mirror dimly. No longer. Now your story, now in full view. The events we speak of today took place 100 years ago, and yet I'm the first president in 100 years ever to come to Tulsa.
Don't mean nothing. Doesn't mean nothing. You don't make a clap when I say it. Don't mean nothing.
Think about it. 100 years, the first president. That entire time. And in this place, this ground, to acknowledge the truth, what took place here. For much too long, the history of what took place here was told in silence, cloaked in darkness. But just because history is silent doesn't mean that it did not take place. And while darkness can hide much, it erases nothing. It erases. Some injustices are so heinous, so horrific, so grievous, they can't be buried, no matter how hard people try. So it is here. Only the truth can come healing and justice and repair. Only the truth. Basically. But that isn't enough. First, we have to see, hear, and give respect. Mother Randall, Mother Fletcher, Mr. Van Ellis.
Now, hold on. But they don't really get into talking about any kind of, have you noticed? There has never been, every time it's about us, there's no solution. There's no resources. They always come to us with symbolic gestures. And why is that? The black people have not been able to understand why white people in government give them symbolic resources over other races. Because other races have a history of dying for what they believe in. Black people, in a sense, have that history, but we are not when we went, like for instance, in 1804, when we won the war there, after winning the war, we basically went back to the white supremacists and said, okay, we'll vote on this and we'll vote on that. No. How the hell are you going to vote on anything and then allow your country like Haiti to still be, a country that is poor and suffering? That's what war is just like. See, what we have to start doing is we have to do what the Palestinians have been doing, and they have been fighting white supremacy years. This is one of the first times that there will have been a ceasefire, because they said, well, we're going to start fighting back. You know what I'm saying? And in that ceasefire, they knew that now the Palestinians were getting closer to their target in Israel. You see? So that was a long time coming. And then there was some finances from Israel, Iran. But what we have to start understanding is that people talk to us like we're children, because the civil rights generation has wasted so much time trying to integrate with these folks and not giving us a clear path as to why we need to move away from the civil rights agenda. It does not make sense. It goes back to say, you know, his speech, Joe Biden's speech, talks about we need to, make sure that everybody has access to voting. Says it at the end, and these Negroes from the Congressional Black Caucus just went wild. That kind of foolishness has to go. These old black people are really, really standing in our way as far. These Negroes, specifically in the Congressional Black Caucus, along with the civil rights organizations, are the real reason why black people have been stifling. They have been, have been pushed back. They have been denied resources because white people think that everybody in the black community is black. But even in the sense of having a black grassroots media, they still think that all of us are like this. Still think that this is what we basically is after, when they know that resources and compensation for a wrong is what every person who has basically has been a victim of anything like injustice, like what happened to these people in the race riots and slavery, Jim Crow era, all of these things that black people experience, you can only repair that not with symbolic gestures, but you repair that with compensation, with wealth and other types of land ownership and stock businesses and things like that. Only thing that could tear it, and they know that. When Asians for 1 year talking about that they were experiencing racism and loss of businesses, they were given billions of dollars of money that they can basically write long forgiveness on. They could basically, they got a hate crime bill within that season. With us, we have to go shuffling and jogging with the party, to the party. We got Sheila Jackson Lee up there tap dancing for Master. See, this is the reason why we don't need these folks speaking for us. Most of these people in the black Congressional Black Caucus are not from America. They're not native blacks. But the article goes on to talk there about survivors of the massacres are plaintiffs in a reparations lawsuit filed last year. The lawsuit argues that the state of Oklahoma and the city of Tulsa are responsible for what happened in the massacre. Van Ellis described as multiple unsuccessful attempts by the survivors and their descendants to seek justice through the courts. and the reason why that the state should be sued and the federal government should be sued is because they talk about this was a white mob. No, the government basically came there to protect the white people who the black men were kicking their tails. Let's be very clear about that. They came in and they were helping the white folks who came in and tried to firebomb everything because, you know, white folks are cowards. They have to drive up on ships, I mean, up on airplanes and helicopters and stuff to, you know, to bomb down on the businesses and on the children and on the women and men. That's exactly what they did in order to make sure they destroy these businesses because they couldn't fight these black men in the streets as to when, while this massacre was going on. Understand? That's the reason why it was a massacre. It was a, it was so much of a total, you know, destruction of business property, mostly because of the bombs that were flying out of the airplanes and helicopters. And that was basically because the white mob, as they claim it was actually getting help from the United States government. But anyway, let's go ahead and read. It talks here about we were made to feel that our struggle was unworthy of justice, that we were less than the white, that we were fully American, says Tom Van Ellis, who is the World War II veteran and wore a U.S. Army hat at the beginning. We were shown that in the United States, not all men were equal under the law. We were shown that when black forces called out for justice, no one cared. Called for the remaining survivors of the Tulsa race massacre to be acknowledged while they are still living. Please do not let me leave this earth without justice, like all the other massacre survivors, he said, as he finished reading from the prepared remarks. Each of the survivors raised the question of what Greenwood has been today. Even at the age of 100, Tulsa race massacre is a footnote in the history book of us. Lived it every day and though of what Greenwood was or what it could have been, Ellis said. Leslie Benefield Randall, who testified over a video conference, said that of the massacre are still felt today in Tulsa. Let's stop right there. This is the same thing folks did during slavery. They waited till all of the victims died out. So then these white kids who basically are white people now can say, well, all those people are dead. How can we just dig them up and give them reparations? See, this is what they do. For black folks, They stall until all of the black folks get old, and then when they die out, then you can't pay them no cash reparations. So that's their excuse to say, well, how can we give them money when they're not alive? This is the same thing they were going to do with the people of the Tulsa race riot. They only have three of them alive. One of them is 107 years old. On for a long time to tell exactly what happened while she was at the age of 7 years old. And they burned our businesses down. We had churches. We had restaurants. We had grocery stores. Black people in that district was exchanging money from one hand to another, and white people had to borrow money from our banks to get them. See, they don't tell you about that. And it also, the same thing where we were talking about Reconstruction as well. Remember when we were, when they called Frederick Douglass in and other people in to head for Freedom Bureau? You know, what, they basically put white folks over that, and the white people then were stealing all the money and all the loans, so black people really did not get the money and the loans that they needed in order to buy houses and business. These people have been doing us dirty ever since we met them. Ever since we met them. And at the same time, we still are what? trying to hold on to their ideals of immigration. And see, this is the reason why we in the Black grassroots said that we should not be voting. Because what voting says that you agree with what's going on currently. That's what voting says. Now, you got Joe Biden, who is giving praise to these survivors, you know, basically, you know, talking this and talking that at no tangent. But do he go and do that with the Asian community? No. Did he do that with the LGBT community? No. Did he do that with the Jewish community? No, I don't think so. Did he do that with the Hispanics? Did he do that with any other group? No. It's only when it's Black folks that they give out what we call symbolic gestures. In other words, well, we cannot give you niggers no resources, but what we'll do is we'll have a memorial monument set up for you. We'll come down there and we'll talk about how we need to, you know, John Lewis. And that's what this fool did in his speech. This fool, Joe Biden, talked about John Lewis. John Lewis had nothing to do with the Tulsa race riots. He talked about everybody getting businesses and stuff like that. Dude, everybody that's not involved, in other words, the white supremacists whose grandchildren who are surviving now, getting a piece of what happened in 1921, Tulsa race riot, everybody gets to basically share in with us. See, this is the reason why we have to stop listening to the older civil rights generation and these Negroes in the Congressional Black Caucus. See, these fools are is the one that is the reason why we'll be headed back to slavery. Our wealth is going to leave, as I've been trying to tell you, and others have been trying to tell you, our wealth is going to be out of here by year 2062. Black people are going to prosper. And what they're doing now is they're trying to put every other race on top of us so that Black people can stay and remain at the bottom. It's only going to be a few of us that makes it out of that. Don't you know that the average basketball and football players are not going to be making the millions of dollars, as I told you before? They're not going to be the average football and basketball player who used to make $100 million. I mean, not only be, at that point, we'll probably be making less than about 60 to almost down to 35 million, you see. And so the turmoil and the crisis that was going to come is that as white people look for more entertainment, they look for more people to come over to take a position for Black people, then we'll get pushed out. You understand? We'll get pushed out of what do you do with 41 million Negroes that you don't want in your country? See, this is what their whole game plan is. And let's go ahead and thumbs up, like, share, subscribe, like, share, subscribe. Yeah, this is their whole game plan with us. See, while we've been out here, you know, trying to change interracial sex. And let's listen to some more of Jim Crow, Joe. button. And then I would start interrupting
all those lost so many years ago. All the descendants of those who suffered for this community. That's why we're here, to shine a light, make sure America knows the story in full. May 1921, formerly enslaved black people and their descendants are here in Tulsa, a boom town of oil and opportunity and a new frontier. On the north side, across the rail tracks that divided the city already segregated by law, they built something of their own, worthy of their talent and their ambition.
Yeah.
Greenwood, a community, a way of life. Black doctors and lawyers, pastors, teachers, running hospitals, law practices, libraries, churches, schools. Black veterans, like the man I had the privilege of giving a command coin to, who fought, volunteered, and fought, and came home, and still faced such prejudice.
Hold on, just apologize. Hold on. Thumbs up. My chair is described why people would have snapped me. Anyway, they,
as soon as it happened, there was a clear effort to erase from our memory, our collective memory. From the news and everyday conversations. For a long time, schools in Tulsa didn't even teach it, let alone schools elsewhere.
That's because of white supremacists.
Most people didn't realize that a century ago, the second...
Let's talk on that. Let's talk about... There's a lot of things that white people don't want us to learn in schools, or our kids to learn in schools. And... I mean, the Tulsa race riot would not just be one of them. You know, they right now are trying to stop, you know, slavery from being taught. And this is why we gotta have our own school. We gotta start teaching our kids ourselves. Because, see, they're coming with that LGBT agenda. They're trying to, you know, they got these cartoons where, you know, these cartoons are talking about, you know, sexual stuff, and kids are very young. They don't need to be talking about that at a very young age. See, and so what they're trying to do, especially white billionaires, they're trying to make pedophilia normal. You understand? See, these people are so sick. But when Jim Crow Joe Biden talks about keeping the social race riot out of schools, they were already teaching the history of black folks out of schools anyway. You know, it's no different, you know, in saying that I'm not going to teach what happened to us during Reconstruction or Jim Crow or the redlining that we had to face. Civil rights movement, you know, they talked about that crap a little bit. I'm not going to call it crap, but they talk about the civil rights movement, and they'll talk about Dr. King and Malcolm X just for a little bit. But they rarely go in depth into our history. We have to listen to history. But let me just say this. Family, we are under attack. And we told y'all bootlicking Negroes who voted for this man that this man is not going to be nothing for us. You know, we said, hey, black folks, if you vote for him over Trump, we are not going, at least over Trump. We basically start the small business loan. We're not for everybody yet, but at least the black folks got the money. And at least we didn't have to fight the LGBT community. Trump was letting Asian people know, hey, we are white supremacists. Y'all have no Bobby with us. The film with Trump, it was more of a kind of like, okay, we can rock with somebody who is basically letting us know where they, you know, what they are, you know, what they're about. They're showing the true racism. And we as black fans who is in from intellectual society, we like those types of white dudes because at least they're telling us where they stand. See, I don't like Democrats because, as Malcolm pointed out, Democrats try to play like they're his friends. And now it's like, nah, uh-uh. It was something coming into my news feed talking about two Asian women beating the gender block in Baltimore suspect arrest. This guy, though, I see is Mr. Ill. Anyway, I mean, let's go ahead and talk about the some people were talking on Twitter about the situation, and some white dudes, he responded. His name is Tim Wise, I'm pretty sure he's well known. I think he's a commentator. But he said that on May the 25th, he said that the fact it's a big event for the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, an act of white terrorism, was postponed because of the Department of Homeland Security fears that it would be disrupted by still more white terrorism, tells you all you need to know about progress in America. The more things change, the more things stay the same. And that's what Amy Fulton said. So a lot of times you have to look at why the dominant society don't want us to have revolution. Why they don't want us to have fun. Why they don't want us to have resources. But see, they know that if we have resources, we don't really need to go down to you know, to get work. I mean, to have, you know, to do work. We will be hiring our own self. We will be basically with all our own job. We'll create our own jobs. We'll be able to get our, have our own businesses. And they don't like that. They want us to be their employees. This, and now, y'all are tweeting, of course, about after they say it was going to cancel, then they end up having it. One lady said, well, they canceled it to cover up the money trail. They never paid the ancestors a fair share or even included the actually living members of the family. Okay. Another person goes on to say, I heard it was postponed because the survivors were settling an ultimatum that they'd be paid $1 million each as reparation, and the planners didn't meet that expectation. Not saying it was right or wrong, but this is what I heard, okay? A lot of your stories are coming from Twitter. Now, that was at the time, because see, they were going to have John Legend, and they were going to bring, what's that woman named who ran for governor of Georgia here? Stacey Abrams. Yeah, they were going to have Stacey Abrams speak. You know, they tried to pull that to mess, have, you know, they were going to have a big old, you know, show. And I want to show, well, we're going to go into it, but I'm going to show you later on how Sheila Jackson Lee, what she was talking about. This is this woman, man, with this reparation finesse she's on. Man, this woman is a Jamaican immigrant. You can tell you, and like I told you last commentary, last week, this woman brought on Herschel Walker and Larry Elder to talk about reparations and why we shouldn't get reparations. That's letting you know you're not serious. You found the two worst and most dangerous tools that black society don't even support, don't even know, or they don't even really care about, and basically brought them to talk about the reparations demand. See, this is the reason why we know that these people in the Congressional Black Caucus, they're not nothing. Remember, we talked about their website yesterday, and it will look like everything they were trying to do was multiculturalized. See, white people's goal in this country is to basically undermine black folks' progress. they feel that this is the only way you can run a nation. It's like, you niggas, y'all are only over here to work for us and nothing else. You're not getting no resources, and who cares if you was enslaved? You niggas are not going to get no reparations. That's what Jim Crow Carburn said in some of the words. He said, no, you all can keep wishing that y'all don't get reparations, but you're not. And see, and this is the reason why we keep talking here about voting. Family, you got to understand that voting will not do nothing. You can vote all you want, and you will still be back in the same position. Amos Wilson taught us that, man, with every white folks in these movements and mental recovery, with a civil, with some type of program, you can look 20 years later, and it will still be that you'll be in that same position. And see, this is the reason why we should not, that we should not listen to these folks, man. We cannot listen to them, man. Because the civil rights generation, they have sold their children out. And basically, selling folks out was the real, I think it's the, you know, we have to understand that they saw, that they still think that this is the only way they can get from the white supremacists who run this government. This is common with us as black people, that we do not want to really go toe-to-toe and fight for what we deserve as a nation. We have talked about it for 400 years of slave reparation. Now, they got Sheila Jackson Lee talking about, hold on here. They got her talking about.
Now, today we come to say we want to help those peoples across the world who need the pain. From the Middle East, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So on this day, I'm going to utter the word.
You hear that? From the Middle East, all the way back from Tulsa, Oklahoma. What the hell did the Middle East got to do with the commemoration of the 1921 and the Tulsa race riot? What did the Middle East got to do with us? You see, this is the reason why we cannot allow it.
Word reparation.
Now,
because I do not believe that it is inconsistent with the patriotic traditions of soldiers in arms, soldiers in cemeteries across America. We too are Americans. We too deserve. We too should be memorialized. We too should be repaired, restored. And there is, as the church said yesterday, no reconciliation without justice. I deal.
Okay, she starts talking about Little East, and she starts talking about soldiers under the ground and all this. See, this is the reason why we can't send anybody over. We can't just—we got to start looking at these fools, man, who goes to Washington speaking for us. Now, Sheila Jackson Lee knows that. But see, she's playing that game. She's a Jamaican immigrant. A lot of Jamaicans, they come over here. They're so fond of white mommy, white daddy. So they try so hard not to, to get out of line. They know, you know, they can probably take, well, they can sense that. But let's go ahead and talk about on May the 15th, prior to this, of 2021, where they said that the reparation bill approved out of committee and historic folk. Now, notice, like I told y'all, I've read this bill. It does not talk nothing about giving us any resources. It's just study to have a study. And the thing was that they were going to use, I think it was $9 or $12 million to pay the people who were going to sit on this committee. They get to use that $9 or $12 million to go around the country and do whatever they want as far as it relates to the study. See, this is the issue. This is the problem. But I give credit to Politico because they covered the story, and my team over there, this reparations bill approved out of the committee in support vote. This is on May the 15th. Reparation legislation could soon be headed to the House floor for the first time in more than 2 decades. Now comes the hard part. Wednesday night, the House Judiciary Committee voted to bring H.R. 40 out of committee. The historic piece not accomplished since the late Representative John Conyers, Democrat from Michigan, first introduced a reparation bill in 1989. The legislation has been introduced in every Congress since then, but never made it past a committee vote until last night, where it was approved with the support of 55 Democrats over 17 Republicans. If passed in both chambers, the bill would establish a commission to study reparations and demonstrate to the Congress that the U.S. government's role in the enslavement and the systematic disenfranchisement of African Americans. The bill does not lay out provisions for the shape of the reparations to take, whether in the form of direct cash payments or safety net programs, despite its open-ending design, getting a buy-in from enough lawmakers to clean up a floor vote and even one half of Congress with a tall order. On Wednesday press call, House Majority Leader Jamie Hoyer dodged questions about whether he will bring the bill to the floor and try to put the onus on Biden, suggesting that the president created his own reparations. Oh, notice that it's held that he basically set up a reparations bill. Oh, it's wrong. Now, see, this is what I wanted to play that for. I'm going to read that for you because I'm getting to my point. I'm getting to the point of what the meat is and the groans is in the greens. I'm getting to the real, subject matter of faith. Yeah? Subject matter of faith. Remember Special Field Order number 15? Okay, a wartime order proclaimed by Union General William Sherman on January 16, 1865, during the American Civil War, that says that black people should have gotten 48% of the deal. Remember that piece of legislation. Remember that piece that was supposed to get us in. So, oh man, do y'all remember that piece? It was called 40 Acres and a Mule. This 40 Acres and a Mule was supposed to be signed by then President Andrew Johnson. And he reversed it, right? He vetoed the deal. And he also, I think, vetoed the Freeman's Bureau deal. And where in certain parts we had to get a majority of Congress and a majority of the House in order to basically do away with certain types of things that you couldn't get Andrew Johnson to do for civil rights and black people. So white people cheated at this time because they were getting more, remember the Homestead Act and all these other things they were getting. They were basically getting a lot of good property at that point. Understand? But see, Andrew Johnson, after Lincoln's assassination, when he took over it, and he couldn't get nothing done, couldn't get no bill passed. And when 40 Acres and a Mule went to his desk, he basically said, no, we're not giving these niggas nothing. How different is that as opposed to Jim Crow Joe Biden, what he said to black people this day. That was in 1865. We are now in 2021, and these folks have still, are still using the same strategy that they have always used to get done. Somebody called black people. It seems like black people as they black people have not been able or is refusing to understand why it is important for us to build up an economy and begin to basically work as a nation within a nation in order to then get what we've done, but most importantly, to have enough power to produce justice. See, they bring in all of these other immigrants over here to undermine us, and we are basically in for a real awakening. And when the whole thing set in, black people are going to be in a true awakening. They're going to basically catch a real hit. They're going to be catching real hit. And let me just tell you this. We already catch hell what the white supremacists are doing to our kids. But you don't have the Congressional Black Caucus helping them out. You don't have no organization. You got them over here dancing, gamboing away. These people are not serious because all they want is a check. All they want is to retire without having any issues. And see, that's the issue with us because, see, we have to deal with the white supremacists. Our children and their children have to deal with the white supremacy. So what Joe Biden did today, Tuesday at his commemoration, was a slap in the face. It was really reprehensible to not talk there about, to try to use these people and try to hand out $100,000 to try to get some photo ops, thinking that was going to help the black community to gain more support by giving these three people money. And I'm glad they said no. This was just a time to connect the survivors. And the survivors said no. They were going to have John Legend and basically show up. And that got canceled. So we're sick and tired of the band losing in Kirkland. So Sheila Jackson Lee was also given the ball. She basically was tap dancing for white daddy and white mommy, given these types of symbolic gestures, doing that Jamaican pouchy, whatever she's doing there, doing that, you know, twerking, the old mama twerk she was doing at this commemoration. This is what they like to see black people do. They like to see black people in a bamboo-ish fashion. But we don't ask for any tangible. See, when we show up, everybody want to just talk about the mixtape. Everybody want to, all, you know, black chicks want to start twerking, hood rats. I'm going to say hood rats, not black, but let me say hood rats. Want to start twerking. Dusty Negroes show up and they're ready to talk about their mixtape, get upset, shoot somebody in the crowd. See, when they show up, it's always a big old party. When certain types of black folks show up, what we have to start doing, we have to start calling out this stuff. Well, everybody else, Asians and all these other people, they get down to business. But the time they show up at their meetings and at their organization, they get down to the degree. All right, what are you going to do for us? That's the very first question they ask. Hispanics, they have an agenda. Everybody has an agenda besides us. We show up, it's always trying to party, you want symbolic gestures. It just becomes a big old finesse. That's what we're going to talk about. part of. That's why the younger generation sees. They don't even listen to the old black people because of what's going on. Okay? So if this reparation bill passed in the House, it's not enough. Because it does not talk about giving us. So when you basically know that you have already owe us 400 years of enslavement, why have a study show us? We already know that you owe us, and you already know that you owe us. Sam? Get back on Joe Biden and this mess that he did. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to understand black people are in huge debt, especially a lot of our college graduates. We have to understand something, that we are in a huge state of emergency. See, we have college debt. These people have tricked us in going to school. They have tricked us in doing everything else besides having a plan come together to build back up the Black Wall Street. I'm here to discuss tonight about screw trying to celebrate and trying to give Joe Biden some type of clout because he's the first president to ever visit the Tulsa survivors. It's not about showing up for these types of gestures. What it's about is making these people whole and making black people whole for reparations as well. You see, Joe Biden, just like any other white supremacist president and white supremacist in general, can give a damn and care less about black people. That's the reason why they have to undermine them. That's the reason why they have to have Sambo Negroes who basically don't challenge them around. Yeah, understand they have to have people. It is necessary because these people is who keep their personality intact. Unlike those in the black grassroots, he makes them uncomfortable because he asks the questions that they don't want to answer. But they have to have the Sambo Negro. Sheila Jackson Lee has to play that game. She has to dance like a Sambo bedridge. That's the only way of the next stone. Like I said earlier, he was talking about crap, about having the right to vote, and these Negroes stood up in the audience and gave this man a standing ovation because he mentioned something about voting. He talked to, clapping their hands because he mentioned John Lewis getting his ass kicked himself. You see, these are the pieces of things they like to talk to us about. Symbolic gestures. This speech that Jim Crow Joe Biden did was the worthless, the most. Just inviting him down there to speak, knowing that this man was not going to do nothing but try to do a photo op of these people And his father said, no, we're not going to take $100,000 and do no pictures with you. What we want is more than $100,000. I think the attorney said to show up. I think John Legend was supposed to be there, like I said. Stacey Gabriel was supposed to show up. She was supposed to speak. They didn't want her to come down there. You see, they bring all of their media. They bring all their little fluffy to speak to try to undermine our demand. That's the reason why we have to stay tooth and nail by these folks. Cannot let them get away with our tangibles. Cannot let them get away what we say. And we also gonna make sure that we basically talk about our reparation from slavery, blue coal, red lining, all the colors.